Hello, dear friends, and welcome to another episode of Life of Love, where we celebrate the everyday and the magic that we can weave in and the curiosity that brings our life to this wonderful conglomeration of everything spiritual and earthly and anything in between, which I'm so excited because we have a brand new topic for Life of Love. And I want everyone to just tune in with an open heart and take what serves you and leave what doesn't. But I'm really excited to explore this. It's something that's dear to my heart and something that I feel is coming more and more to the surface. And with our open hearts, it's a great way to feel connected. And it's another evidence of how we are all connected. So I'm really excited to introduce Joanne Fawcett. She is a woman of wisdom. She's a warrior. And I want her to explain why she tells people that she's a warrior. Because you can look at her and you can tell she has a great spirit. But I don't know. I mean, how's she fighting? I want to hear. I know that she has fought for love because she's had many relationships and she's had tests of faith. And she grew up in California. She currently lives in Oregon, and she is a grandmother. And there's always happy endings, and everything happens in synchronicity and perfect timing. So that's another testament to her life of love and what she wants to share with us. But now her current husband is in a situation that you wouldn't expect. And she's going to share how they were brought together. And Joanne, I'm just really excited. Thank you for being on Life of Love. I'm so delighted to have you.
Well, thank you for having me. And he's actually an ex now, but...
Oh, you guys got divorced. See, I didn't read the whole book.
Yeah, but that's okay. Or, we came together for a reason and now we're not together.
Well, that's a good lesson of love because... sometimes it feels perfect. And then when it doesn't serve both parties, you know, your contract may be up. And so it's a healthy way. You don't have to stick with it just because you started it.
Right. It was a long road, but I realized it needed to stop. So, yeah.
Well, I can't wait to get into it. You were married several times, and I don't want you to have to go through all the every single relationship, but tell me what drew you to your last husband.
Okay.
And then, love opens you up to different possibilities and different insights. So
it does.
Then you can share how he opened your mind to this very dear topic of mine.
Okay. Well, number one, he was husband number seven. So we'll just put it out there. Cause I'm not ashamed. And he's in prison for a crime I believe he did not commit. My roommate at that time, and we met in like 1997, and my roommate at the time came home and said, I met this guy, he's a friend of my husband's, and he was there visiting his mom, and he's really smart. And I was thinking, okay, smart would be a new kind of boyfriend for me. Would you like to meet him? I said, sure, why not? And I'd already been to visit people at prison, so that didn't, going to prison was not terrifying. Because the visiting room is very friendly for the most part. I've only, seen one incident in there. But anyway, that's another story. Anyway, so we started writing. We wrote for a couple of months. And he called like once. And I was approved to visit. And then I guess Thanksgiving weekend of 1997, I went and saw him for the first time and cut my time short with my family, and they were not happy, but it's like, oh, I got a date with this guy. Oh yeah, he's at prison. What? But it is what it is. So we met and we basically courted for 5 years and they got married, and we were together 25 years and we just divorced in May of 2023. But we were married a little over 20 years. And like you said, it was really good until I realized it wasn't. Mm-hmm. And so that was a hard decision because I didn't realize that I needed to get out until I realized it. So, but his job in the military, as much as his, well, he and his father, their jobs in the military were mostly to deal with aliens and UFOs and space travel and, you know, what was going on with that. And the ex had been around aliens since he was a little kid because he would go with his dad to things. And his dad, there was this, I know aliens have been coming to visit the planet for thousands of years. And definitely I know there's, you know, beliefs that they've been visiting humans, especially lately, you know, like since the 20s and 30s and presidents in the 30s. And his dad started working with a specific species in like 1952 when that species landed here. And so we do have certain species that are our allies and work with our military. So, you know, that's the kind of world that the ex grew up in. And it's just, you know, that's what he knows. And eventually, not right away, but eventually I started finding out, you know, he was giving me things to read and reports that I could possibly sell. I had a publishing company for a little while. And it's like, okay, what do you mean you've been to space? What do you mean there's these cool aliens out there? And it was interesting. And in 2004, he had said, well, why don't you know, there's a UFO conference going to happen in the Bay Area, California. And I go, okay, I'll go. And it's like my mind was blown open. And by the next year, I had enough stuff that he'd written about that I could have my own booth. So, you know, that took on a life of its own. And I had already formed a nonprofit. And I started speaking on the radio and at conferences. And until COVID, I was speaking at least once or twice a year at different conferences here in the U.S. and over in England. So it got me, like, I took 5 trips to England. 1 was vacation, but 4 of them were because I was speaking at conferences. So yeah, I love it.
Oh my goodness. Wow. That is so exciting. And I'm just blown away that the synchronicities brought us together, because I'll look at in the sky at night and I'll be like, I know that there's peace in the sky. Like, I can feel the peace radiating from the stars. And I know that there's a supportive element up there, because I feel it when I look
good,
up.
Good, because it's not always peaceful up there.
Right. There are things like
certain species do war with each other. But, you know, there are a lot of species who would like regular contact with us and who would love to have us be part of a galactic community. And I just think that would be wonderful. I keep telling people, I want to have a place where big enough where things can land and people can shoot in through portals and we can all just have tea and talk about our lives. And, you know, and I, you know, I've been told that I'm supposed to teach, especially a certain, I think it's the Pleiadians, but a certain group, I'm supposed to like teach them about humans, you know, what it's like to be human and stuff. And I'm fascinated with many species, so I've got a lot to learn. I mean, I know quite a bit, but I, you know, there's always more to learn. And, you know, what better way to just sit down and have tea and, you know, shoot the breeze.
Right. Well, that's, I'm just, my mind is spinning. So you met this man through a friend,
right?
And he was in prison when you met.
He's still in prison. He was in prison when I met. He was in prison the whole time we were married. He's still there. He may never get out because of.
May never.
Yeah.
Okay. So what can I ask?
Yeah.
What?
Why?
Yeah. Why? Like what he's implicated in.
He was charged and convicted with masterminding a murder that happened in Northern California in 1982. The kids that did it said that he masterminded the whole thing and then helped them dump the body. And he maintains that he didn't and wasn't there. And I believe him, and I've read all the transcripts. I didn't know him when that happened, but, you know, I've read all the stuff. You know, I had talked to his mom when she was still alive and read a lot of notes. And it's just, it was all circumstantial evidence against him. And, you know, there was no actual evidence that he was at the scene of the crime. And like the kid that was there, you know, actually left bloody handprints and things. So it's like, you know, it's just really hard to believe that he actually did it. And, you know, I shouldn't joke, but I joke that, you know, he's so elitely trained from the military that he wouldn't have used teenagers to help him that didn't know what they were doing. And he would have known how to hide a body if he, you know, if he was going to kill somebody, the body, you know, the body, they put the body in the bay there, and it would, it floated up, and it's like, he would have never let that happen. So.
Sounds like you'd have been a better defense attorney than he had.
Yeah, his attorney did not do a good job, and you can see that in the trial transcripts. So it's like, it was terrible. So it's not funny, but, you know, it's like I have to, you know, that's the way I deal with it.
You have to release it in some way. Right. I understand. I deal with traumatic things like that, too, and it's not to belittle or make light of it. It's just a way to process. Oh my goodness. So did it take a while for him to talk about the intergalactic connections, or was that something that drew you to him?
It took a few years. I knew he was working on a big family manuscript. So he's got like thousands of pages written about his family's history and weaving it together with world history and cars and politics and, you know, everything that was going on from like the 30s on into, you know, kind of current day. And weaving that into what was happening in the UFO world. And then he doesn't write about stuff because he was in the U.S. military. And then there's also an international military intelligence agency that dealt with worldwide threats or threats against the whole planet. And so he's written several reports about, like, when they were in charge or when he was working for them, type of thing. So there's certain things he can't talk about and then he won't. And then certain things that he's basically had permission to talk about and that he does. And then I, you know, he would write it up and then I would go talk about it. So, and there's still, you know, there's like information about treaty conferences here on the planet and different space battles that he and his dad were involved with and, you know, invasion fleets coming to Earth in the 70s. It's like, huh, I was so oblivious to all of that. And who knew? It's like, you weren't supposed to know that we were, in the brink of, the snap of a finger, Earth could have been wiped out, or at least all of us on Earth could have been wiped out if they hadn't have succeeded.
Right. And so, you mentioned
it's crazy.
Extraterrestrial species who want to help us. Can you expand?
There are. And sure. I mean, there are several friendly species that I love talking about, and there's probably more that I don't know a lot about, but I mean, if you've ever seen Jurassic World, the Velociraptor in there is the species that his dad met in 1952 and they became friends. Mm-hmm. And because that species their empress had decided, well, it's time to see if we can get along with the humans and work with them. Because up until then, they'd been eating us and, you know, whatever. So, but they decided that, you know, they were meant to try working with us. And since 1952, they have been working with our militaries. And so, because they originated on this planet and some of them still are here, but they had left, most of them had left the planet, you know, millions of years ago to colonize space. And they have a vast empire out in space, but they're so cool. I mean, they still look like a dinosaur. They've got beautiful leather and different colorings in their leather and a lovely tail. And they are really fast runners and they're highly educated and they believe in a strong family life. And some of them, if they've lived on Earth, they have learned to like certain human foods. They'll like ice cream and soda and candy. They love chocolate. So lots of things maybe that's probably not very good for them, but they also like to eat live food. So hopefully you'll have a flock of sheep or some deer hanging around if they're going to come to visit. Mm-hmm. But they're, you know, really good at military strategy. They love opera and art and they love bling. You know, they love, you know, silky stuff and jewelry. And so they're just fascinating to me. And, you know, their babies are just so cute. I mean, they're killers the minute they hatch, but yeah, I mean, they're born with really sharp teeth and they're born to run and hunt. You know, that's what they do. And so they're just really fascinating to me, but their empire is run by an empress and they have a whole social, I mean, they have like a Senate, they have a political structure. But it's each family's, you know, every now and then the families will kind of, well, my daughter should be the empress. So you'll have civil wars trying to put somebody new on the
throne.
The throne. But yeah. The current empress is somebody that my husband met, or ex-husband, when he was like 7 at a conference in England. And she was like a teenager then, and she's now been the empress for quite a while. I don't know exactly how old she is, because we're 69 and 70. So she could be, like 80 to 90 in human years. But they live to be several hundred years old. So she's been on the throne for quite a while, and she's a force to be reckoned with. I respect her.
So it sounds like you've interacted. Like, it's not just story from him. It sounds like you have a visual. Is it your goal?
I have never seen her in person. I sometimes get little messages from her through my, my guides that I, work with. And I know that I have a spirit guide who is a raptor sorceress, who's an old lady, and she lives in England with some other ones. But, I've heard her talk to me once, but I get little snippets. And also I talk with my guides to, a former partner of the exes, and, she was around them a lot as well when he was. So, So I get a lot
and
of information.
Why do you think England is a hotbed?
For that particular branch of raptors, a lot of them, that's where their family had been. When they were on the planet, a lot of them had been in the British Isles. So, they'll go there, whether they're there as a tourist or whether they're there for a conference. He's got stories of like taking some of the kids around to where there's fossils and things, that the southern coast is called the Jurassic Coast. And there's a lot of fossils there. And there's even fossils up in Scotland and stuff. So there, it's just be like me going to England and finding where my family's from. So they just want to, feel that connection to their family.
So
was
when
on
you're
Earth.
There, so humans can see them, or do they cloak themselves so they fit in? I'm just trying to figure out.
They don't cloak themselves as far as I know. So yes, if they're meant to be, like, for example, when he was there with a kid, when he was there as a kid, he got to hang out with the children of different species. So they'd go in like big cars or big vans and go on all these outings. So, he was interacting with them just like you and I are talking now. Other people, cause usually, like, especially in the 60s, the British government and the British military could close off a manor house or a castle or wherever they needed to have these meetings. So the public was not going to drive up. And in England, if you've ever been there, they've got really long driveways to a lot of these places. So the public just cuts off, and if you're standing there at the end of the driveway with big guns or whatever, it's like, I'm just imagining that. You're just not going to wander on to the property. So back then it was a lot easier. Now they kind of have to have them in locations maybe where people aren't going to see them. But yes, if you were at a conference, the human delegates would see the alien delegates. So yeah, it's pretty amazing. And there were hundreds of them. So yeah, it's really cool. I mean, I wasn't there, but I think it's cool.
And in this whole UFO community, they meet on a regular basis to share and update. Are you familiar with the COBRA transmissions?
No. And it's funny because I haven't listened to any of the hearings that when they do these congressional hearings, I don't even bother, because the government's just not going to admit to the whole depth of really what's going on, because the government's been working with them for years. So, but they're not going to really.
Well, the
admit
files
to all of
they
it.
Released like 3 years ago, that big Freedom of Information Act, and they fought, and I got online to look at what they, but it was hard to read. Like, it was very dim, and a lot of it was scratched out, like chicken scratch writing. Yep. And I really, there's some pictures. I was like, yeah, that could be something. Have you seen that movie, Paul, the Martian movie, Paul?
No, I never have. I keep meaning
to,
but I haven't
gray.
Watched it.
And just very endearing, his relationship with the humans and the whole thing. So I wondered if anything that your ex told you paralleled that movie, Paul.
Yeah, we never discussed it. No, he really liked we both of us really liked the Jurassic World movies because they're even more realistic than the Jurassic Park movies, you know, the old ones. And it's like and the raptors look just like they are in the Jurassic World movies. So yeah, it's pretty, and I'm pretty sure they kind of helped finance those movies.
Yeah, I believe that there's intergalactic because they're even in the Marvel movies, it's just like, you know, it's just so powerful. The spiritual messages, if you really know to look for it, and in the stones, how they use the stones, and the stones carry these powerful frequencies that we take for granted, but are really there. Have you had the experience where you can connect with, the intergalactic to ask for assistance? Like, I've heard of the command 1221. You say command 1221, command 1221, command 1221, and there's a team of light forces that are assigned to you at that point because you requested them in.
Oh, huh. No, I had never heard of that. And I do work with a channeling medium regularly, so I talk to my guides that way. And again, some of them lived hundreds of years ago, and like one of them is a teacher from one of my past lives. And I talked to, again, this woman that was one of my ex's partners, and we're like best friends now. And again, you know, I've talked to my parents, and I've talked to his dad, and again, sometimes I'll get messages from, the Empress will, you know, I know that she knows who I am and she really respects me, which is a huge, I'm so honored by that. And with the channeling medium, we used to meet in person and in groups and stuff. And sometimes aliens would come in and, you know, or their representative would come in and have, you know, these long discussions with us. And that was so fascinating because when I was there in person, I always like to sit right by the medium because I could just feel that hot energy coming off these beings. And it's like, because that's how I know it's really real, because it's like I'm feeling the energy. So, and every now and then, you know, they will come through. And even when I'm just in my Zoom sessions with them, and you know, they'll come through to give messages. So it's not always like a dead person, you know, dead human. Sometimes it's interdimensional species that want to come in and have chats, and they might still be very much alive, but they have the ability to work through the medium. So, but I've never, so that's how I work with, you know, things from the other side or things from other dimensions. So. And, you know, it's like what I was going to say, one thing, when I go on my walks, because that's like a meditation for me, and I will get a lot of inspiration. So, and I don't, you know, it could be coming from anybody, but it's like, and I will, for example, I do ask through the mediums, like, okay, all my team, my guides and my team is like, what do you want me to say? Like I told you, I gave a talk a couple of weeks ago, and it's like, what do you want me to say? You know, for you. And, you know, they gave me some messages, but when I'm going on my walks in my neighborhood and stuff, I sometimes, especially when I ask, because you need to ask, you know, the words just flow in. It's like, okay, this is how the talk needs to go. This is what I need to say. This is my important beginning. You know, it's like, and it's like, cause I it's like, and sometimes I think, well, that's a whole lot easier than me trying to figure it all out. You know, could you just tell me what to say, please? So I feel very blessed that they give me that help. Right. So, and they have things they want us to know.
That was the next thing I was going to ask you. Like, what is the permeating message that humanity should receive? I mean, well, the media has been trickling UFO stuff for about 6 months. And sometimes I feel like it's a shiny object, so we don't look at something else. Because, you know, it's so obvious. You're like, well, you know, why weren't they promoting the UFO stuff when all the Freedom of Information Act came out? Because this has been going on. Like, why now? And then you look at what's happening in the world and, you know, this war in Israel. And I've been hearing from my community that there's a victory of the light and there's just a few more dark entities that we need to expel. And this is like sort of the last stand that this awfulness is happening in Israel and Palestine. Both countries are suffering greatly. It's just a side effect of the final flush of humanity rising above all the overlays that have been placed on us since these accords have been made since the 1940s and 30s. And I have heard about the president making a deal that it was like, you know, the president was pushed up against the wall.
Lots of treaties. Over the years, lots of treaties. Well, you know, it's interesting because the messages they've asked me to say, and it's kind of funny because it's like humans. It's like many of them, and not all, but many species would like us to be part of the greater galactic community. You know, I know, okay, and this is kind of funny, but there's a lovely dog species that lives on the planet, and they may... A lot of species that were here left during COVID because they didn't want to get sick either, but you know, they left, but some of them have come back. But anyway, there's this lovely dog species. They were allowed to have a base in Australia since a treaty conference in 1961. Their whole purpose in life basically is they're merchants. So they buy commodities here and export them to space, you know, chocolate, bling, Rolex, a lot of fun stuff that the aliens in space want. I know it sounds crazy, but I just love talking about them. Now, they just want to interact with us, and they would love for us to be their clients. You know, it's like it's all about commerce, and they don't transport any kidnapped victims or anything. They're very peaceful, and they can defend themselves because they have a fleet that will, you know, they have ships that will defend their transport ships and stuff. But they just want to be friends, and they've been coming here for thousands of years, and you know, they're really cool and they've got great medical technology, but they just want to sell to us humans. They want to broaden their client base. So I love that. You know, the other ones, and there are many species that are very spiritual, and I should have grabbed it before I sat down here, but and we'll talk about that in a minute, but like many species want us to be part of the community. But the thing is, we need to step up. We need to raise our vibrations and our frequency however you phrase it, you know, it's like, but we need to get it together and, you know, stop killing each other here on the planet. And, you know, I just keep telling everybody, let's just be kind. You know, it's like that would have helped my marriage. That would help us with the aliens. You know, let's just be kind. And they just want to get along with us and work with us. And can you just imagine what a cool place this would be if the aliens could come and go? You know, many of them love coming here on vacation because this place is so beautiful, this earth. And many of them do, or many of them just want to come here and explore. And, you know, they go on vacation and, you know, I went on my first cruise in the spring and it's like, well, they go on cruises. And it's like, so they just want to come here and have fun and get to know us and be part of, like, can you imagine sitting down with a raptor and discussing their spiritual beliefs? Yeah. It's like, how cool would that be? I mean, they do have a belief system that this universe is so abundant and there's enough to go around and everything is connected and everything is unique. And just because you don't have eyes or you don't have ears, you know, we're still all connected and we're still all amazing beings, no matter what we look like. And even if we can't talk to each other, you know, there's ways to get around the language barrier. There are the fairies that will translate for you and things like that. So it's like there's ways to get around these communication barriers. And I loved the movie, what was it called, Arrival, where there's those pods of like spacecraft that there's like 12 hovering over like 12 locations on the planet. It's several years ago, but and then this linguist, you know, she's talking to the one that's maybe in the United States, and like remember it's like in a tank of water, and you know, she's trying to learn its language because it's got not funny, but just different hands or paws or whatever you want to call it, almost like tentacle things, but it would put its, you know, tentacles or hands up to the glass. And she was learning, she was learned their language. And, you know, they were trying to talk to us and she was trying to figure it out. But, you know, it was more like, well, you have to just, you know, meet them halfway, more than halfway to, you know, I get excited about this.
Yeah. So you're saying if we live, well, your heart gives out the highest frequency. So if we live more heart-based and try to keep, you know, compassion, non-judgment, that kind of stuff will, and the simple task of asking to have signs, asking for synchronicities that they could show up. And I've had some people who believe that, you know, angels are typically intergalactic beings, or it's all part of the same thing. So if you're having a visitation, I have a friend who had a visitation and she met an alien. It was a very peaceful situation. I know there's been other things that other people have had experiences that weren't so, kind, but like you said, there's all different things. And so do you believe you can align your heart with the beings of light and,
I do. I don't see, I don't see why not. You know, it's like, and again, it's like a lovely thing that I learned from the ex was he was at some of these conferences and he said some of the friendliest were the scariest looking, but they were some of the friendliest ones, you know, and even, you know, Bigfoot, Yeti, Sasquatch, I mean, that's an alien. And, you know, they come and go and they're interdimensional, but that's they're an alien species. And, but it's like, oh, I want to talk to them.
It's the same with humans. I mean, you look at some humans and you're like, whoa, and you talk to them and they're the sweetest teddy bears that you ever met. And it's almost like you'd rather talk to somebody who is like straightforward about their humanity than someone who's pretending to be so pure. And we're not pure. We all screw up. We all make bad decisions. So.
I know. And it, you know, and just a small sample about that. It's like, you know, I remember, again, when I was going to first go, I grew up with, okay, if you're in prison, you must be guilty. You know, you're a bad person, you know, just lock the key, you know, lock you away, throw away the key. And now, yes, most of the people in prison are there for a reason and they need to be there and they need to learn their lesson. But prison is not, it's not conducive to rehabilitation. But I've met some really nice guys along the lines of when I've been visiting when I was visiting the ex, I met several of his friends and they're genuinely nice people. Now, unfortunately, you know, they did something bad and they're doing their time and whatever, but you know, some of them are really smart and educated. And, you know, this one's taught me a lot about witchcraft and, you know, these, you know, I've learned a lot of stuff and it's amazing. You know, you just can't throw away the key on somebody's humanity because they might be in prison. You know, and I've also learned you can't always believe everything they say just because that was turned out to be my experience. But I've met some really nice people. So you can't just judge a book by the cover and assume. And again, you just like what you're saying, a free person is the same way. And it's like, I tried to be on dating apps recently. It's like, oh, this is awful. And it's like, oh my gosh, they're, you know, they either don't say anything about themselves or you can tell who's scamming you or who's it's like, okay, dude, tell me about that picture. It's like, okay, you weren't even really there, were you? It's like, I don't think Milan has an ocean. Thank you very much. I think there's a bay right there. Like, I just, you know, it's like, oh, creepy, creepy, creepy.
Well, anyway. I did want to ask you about, I just want to use the right word, but isn't there like a code? Like, there needs to be consent, or you can say, I do not consent to this, or isn't there like an intergalactic code of ethics where if you feel like something isn't serving you, you could say something or give an energy off that it's not of your choice. Have you heard anything about that?
I'm I don't know. And again, most of the species that I know about, he was dealing mm-hmm. with in person. It wasn't, you know, an energetic thing. I do know logistically there are treaties in place where open communication between civilians and aliens mm-hmm. are not allowed. It's illegal for both sides. Obviously, the military and government do meet with aliens all over the world. The church leaders of the major churches know all about this stuff. They're just not going to preach it. And again, I have talked to other people who have had personal, you know, interactions with them and like in meditation or whatever, mm-hmm. and like what you were saying. And it's really funny, to learn that a lot of times in the Bible, for example, it's like they're talking about angels, but mm-hmm. they were really aliens that were appearing. Mm-hmm. So like what you were saying, and it's like, oh, I have to rethink some of this stuff.
And was Jesus a Palladian? Was Jesus part of that star family? And that explains his resurrection, that he went back, you know, like, I just love to explore.
No, you're fine. I was going to say in the group I was with, and even it's like, you know, we've had Jesus come through and he's just like just this cool guy. And, you know, he likes to fish in wherever it is, they're all hanging out, you know, and he's got such great messages and such great wisdom, but it's not like he ever intended to be this great savior type person. And, you know, I've had to like rethink, and I'm no longer Christian, but I, you know, and I don't put anybody down that is, but it's like, I've had to rethink my whole, you know, what I grew up with. But we've had discussions with his mom and with Mary Magdalene and I know. Yeah. It's so cool. And it's like, and it's so funny because for the longest time, even when I was a Mormon, it's like, oh yeah, Jesus was married. They're just not going to tell you that at church. And he had several wives and he had kids. So, you know, he was very human, but so I don't know about his, you know, starseed association, but he was in a scene. That's the, you know, what his family, that's what they, I don't know how to describe that, but you know, so that's how he grew up. And there's a lot of, it seems like, I don't know if magic is the word they would have used, but there's a lot of deeper spirituality than just, you know, he never intended to be, you know, anybody that somebody would write all these gospels about. And, you know, that's just, his purpose was not what they put him out to, you know, it's like he looks at himself differently than how everybody says he is. So, but he's a pretty cool guy. And I love hearing, you know, we've heard from a druid, I guess she was a druid, you know, a priestess. And, you know, we've heard from all these other wonderful beings and, you know, how life was on this planet years ago. And yeah, it's pretty amazing. And I probably went off on a tangent.
No, it's just beautiful. It's just beautiful. And, you know, the moment the name Jesus is spoken, there's a calmness, there's a feeling around it, no matter what. I mean, it's something.
Something pretty cool.
And you know, the Marys are just the Marys are part of just everything near and dear to me, both Mary, all the Marys and Isis, and just amazing.
His mother is totally amazing. She is like totally amazing. I love sitting, you know, when I was able to meet in person with that group, it's like I loved listening, and they still, you know, they're back to meeting in person, I believe. And it's like, oh, we had Ruth Bader Ginsburg come in. It's like, oh, I missed it. So they still have cool people coming through and stuff, and they talk about current events. But it's amazing. This is nothing I grew up learning about or doing or but I'm in.
Right. I mean, I think that there's big, you get big signals when you think about movies you really connected with, and like E.T., I couldn't stop watching E.T. And I just felt for the characters and what they were going through and the systems that came in to try to hide that. And, you know, you just think about things that really moved you, and that's for a reason. So
it is. And did you know the movie Abyss?
I don't remember exactly.
It's an underwater thing. Okay. Well, okay. It's like an underwater team. And I don't know if they're all military or civilian. And they do like a really deep submersible dive. And something's wrong with their vehicle. But this one guy who leaves the vessel or whatever to, you know, go explore or to see what, you know, whatever. He comes upon this creature that is, it's not a jellyfish, but it's transparent and it's got all these beautiful lights.
Oh, the lights. I do remember the lights. Okay, yeah.
Okay, and they live very deep in the ocean. Well, there are some beings that are exactly like that. And it's like, oh, it's like no wonder. Because the military often feeds information to the movie studios and, you know, here, make, you know, include this or whatever. But there is a lovely underwater species that is like that. So, you know, it's like, oh, and I love, it's like, I had to, once I started learning about aliens, I had to go back and watch that movie again, because now I get it. But, you know, obviously when I watched it the first time, I didn't think, oh, that's an alien, because that's not, they don't say that in the movie. But anyway, it's like, I love that movie too.
Yeah. And it's, you know, when you get down to it, all those films are basically non-judgment, acceptance, and, you know, even all the Marvel, like the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, it's about love.
Oh, I love those movies. I love the Guardians of the Galaxy movie. I haven't seen the Marvel movies, but I have seen the Guardians of the Galaxy movies.
Well, the last Marvel Guardians of the Galaxy, I can't remember the name of it. They are getting into the manipulation of the animals. They're like cyborg animals, and they spend way too much time. And with that, and I was just, it made me really sad, because I like to watch those movies to laugh and, you know.
Exactly. Well, in the, I watched a, and I'm not saying it's new, but I watched a Superman movie where it starts where his parents are like, you know, he's just born and they're shooting him off because their plant, you know, their world is imploding. And so they shoot him off to Earth. And, you know, so he starts out as a baby and, you know, and it's like, but it really, you know, it honed in the message that's like, you understood he's basically an alien from another world. And I don't know, maybe that's the first time I really heard that being said in a Superman movie.
Yeah.
I always knew he was from another place type of thing, but this was, it really brought it home to me. And it's like, especially because that's like probably one of the first, you know, Superman movies I've seen in a long time. And especially since I've known about aliens, it's like, okay, this really makes total sense.
Yeah. And then you understand the kryptonite, you know, like it all comes together.
It's like, that movie brought it together for me. So that was really cool.
Well, if somebody is curious and wants to know more about, you know, the whole supernatural, I know you have a book and that it's sort of your legacy. I mean, it goes through your story and your experiences. So would you like to share about that?
Sure. It's called Midlife Magic. And I wrote it, well, I changed my life in my 40s when I met husband number 7. So that's kind of midlife. So the first half talks about my childhood and the first 6 marriages. Then there's like 3 chapters on how he and I met, what it's like being a prison wife, and how he introduced me to the world of UFOs and aliens and, you know, fairies and witchcraft and all this cool stuff. And then basically how, you know, my life has taken on a new pathway. And I left the Mormon church after 30 years just 'cause I needed to. And, you know, it's like my magic practice, how I use my intuition, how I protect myself, my experiences with ghosts, my UFO sightings, my ghost experiences, my fairy experiences, all that cool stuff, and just my connection to animals and things like that. So that's the first book. And it's called Midlife Magic, and it's by my married name, Joanne Richards. So it's on Amazon and all the usual places. It's also on my website. If somebody wants a signed copy, dragonhillbooks.net, they can order it that way. And if you want more of the space stuff, I have several reports left on a website called edhq.org. I've closed down the nonprofit, but I'm keeping the reports alive. So, because people are still interested in them, and that, you know, a lot of the stuff that the ex has written about his space things, and And what else? Let's see. You can email me at Joanne with no E at midlifemagic.biz. Ask me anything you want to know.
So. I might be popping some questions in and wake up in the middle of the night. Like, I wonder, Joanne's never.
Yeah. That's fine. I might not look at them in the middle of the night, but I will answer.
Well, thank you for sharing your life of love and magic and joy. I mean, it's just nice to have the idea that there's something beyond what we're dealing with right now. And there's civilizations that want to help us, that want to be a part of us. So.
And, you know, and I will, if I could share just one more thing, it's like, often when I've given talks, it's like there's a whole array of beings behind me, holding me up and supporting me, you know, like the father-in-law, my raptor guide, either angelic or fairy beings behind me. So I know I'm on the right track. I know I'm talking about the right things. I know I'm sharing what needs to be shared. And I love now talking about how we're connected, and I want to, you know, move forward with that topic besides all the relationship stuff I talk about. But I really do think there's a deep connection we can share with humans and non-humans. So,
right. Yeah, I mean, if there's nothing else, it shakes us up to say that, you know, we need to get on board with the galactic, that, you know, we're not just here scraping along and trying to get by. Like there's a higher good. There's a bigger community that, you know, that we can get through.
And they've been around longer than we have. So I'm sure we could learn a lot of things from other beings.
And, and we need some help. We need restructuring. We've got a lot of stuff all over the place, and everyone's going to meet in the middle from a place of love. It's not going to come from one party or another party.
And we've harmed the planet, and it makes many beings unhappy. So especially we could look to the ones who have lived here a lot longer than we have for guidance on how to, you know, bring the planet back into a more eco-friendly place, you know, so we're not just all imploding.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time and insight. Oh, it's been
great.
You're
so welcome. You're so welcome. It has been fun.